said, you got to make a decision. And I said, what's the decision? He said, you got to decide if you're going to pursue transactions or relationships. And I said, what's the difference? And he said, transactions will make you a living. Relationships will make you a fortune.
Hey, welcome to the Business of Sales. I'm your host, Morris Sims. I have over 35 years training sales professionals who are actually business owners. And now, hey, I'm focused on helping those business owners run their businesses more effectively and efficiently in today's very fast-paced, ever-changing world. So on this show, we're going to interview some great business leaders and give you practical ideas that you can use today. So, hey, stick with us, please. We've got great things coming out, and it's going to happen right now. Todd Duncan is our guest today on the Business of Sales. We're really excited about having him with us because Todd is the world's leading authority on trust. He's got a book out. It's called High Trust Selling. It's not new. It's in its 20th year. Can you imagine that? A book that's still out there selling bunches after 20 years. You just don't get that unless you're Napoleon Hill or something. So, Todd, thank you very much for being here, man. Love having you.
Thanks, Morris. It's good to be with you, and always excited to talk about the business of sales. What a great podcast title. Love it.
Thank you. We are having fun. That's the best part of the whole thing.
Yeah. Amen.
Todd, you and I both have taught other people how to sell for years, and I guess, you know, it's amazing. We used to talk about being a more of a counselor and a consultant to our customers, our clients than a salesperson, but we'd always talk about you got to get past, you got to get over that river of no trust, and you do that with commonality, empathy, propriety, and intent, which in my opinion all came back down to sincerity. But boy, I'm just dying to hear your take on trust.
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing I think I would say, Morris, to everybody is that you know, trust is the most important thing to pursue. It's the easiest to lose, and it must be held on to as something that you focus on each and every day. And, you know, the truth is that we go from a world of being categorically stereotyped as a low trust, you know, either industry or sales profession, the proverbial used car salesman or, you know, the distrusted real estate agent. And, you know, I was doing a pretty large seminar in Australia right prior to COVID, and I had about 4,000 people that were real estate agents. And I had done some research and found out that the real estate business in Australia was the second most distrusted industry in the country. And what I said to this group of 4,000 real estate agents is, I said, you know, you don't need to be untrustworthy to be distrusted. And I just paused and everybody kind of said, where's he going with this? And I said, the fact that real estate in Australia is the second largest distrusted industry means that you are distrusted before you meet somebody. The industry you're in is distrusted. And so how do you overcome that? And the way to overcome it is, you know, most people in this business, blah, 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 how I am different is, and then you just kind of lay out the trust thing. And, you know, essentially what trust is, it's the removal of tension. Yeah. And if you look at, you know, at least in our world, you know, we have eight different disciplines of a sales call, and discovery is number three. And so I would argue that while discovery is super critical, trust begins before somebody meets you. I remember early in my career that, you know, I was making a lot of cold calls. I was, you know, trying to set up appointments with people that didn't know who I was. And, you know, it was really hard. And I was doing some drop buys and things like that. And, you know, I'd drop into a real estate office. I grew up in real estate and mortgages, and people would all of a sudden get busy. They'd pick up the phone and not be talking to anybody. They just wanted to avoid, you know, this salesperson coming through the front door. And I found a mentor in my first month being in straight commission sales. And he said, you got to make a decision. And I said, what's the decision? He said, you got to decide if you're going to pursue transactions or relationships. And I said, what's the difference? And he said, transactions will make you a living. Relationships will make you a fortune. And I just was stupefied. You know, I'm 23 years old. I'm like 3 months out of college. And here's this guy that's making a couple million dollars a year, looking me in the eyes and said, just make the choice. Transactions will make you a living. Relationships will make you a fortune. So back to your question, what I did from the very get-go is I never set up an appointment with anybody to whom I had not been referred. And what I learned very quickly is that when I'm referred to somebody, trust already goes up. And they're excited to meet with me because somebody that they trust said, this guy is worth meeting with. And then once that happens, there is no pressure, there is no tension. And then sitting down, I can say, hey, Joe, our common friend, Dave, you know, thought we should get together and talk about business. And, you know, I hope this goes well because Dave's the guy that's responsible for it. And you know, one of the things I did for Dave, I'm going to do with you. And I just want to learn what's super important to you about being successful in business. And I want to see if there's a way I can help. And it was just like so disarming because it wasn't a pitch. It wasn't a cold call. It wasn't, you know, here's this guy coming in. It was a direct referral. And I think the world of referrals is the most significant way in which trust can be used to even affect the conversion of setting appointments and even the conversion of having the right to have a different kind of conversation. And it's that important to me. And so I would say discovery is huge, but getting the appointment is more important. And if I get the appointment and it's based on trust, then the discovery process is a foregone conclusion.
Isn't that the truth? Oh, man, that's absolutely right on target. I couldn't agree more. And, well, when you get that referral, a friend of mine is Mr. Bill Cates. He was on the show just a couple of weeks ago, and Bill presents himself as the referral coach and just does a great job with it. And he talks about the fact that to get a referral, you've got to have that trust built up in order to have somebody feel comfortable enough to say, yeah, I'm going to tell Todd about Morris because he's a good guy and he did a good job for me and I trust him.
You know, it's interesting. I have this acronym. It's PRE, P-R-E, and I try to do everything PRE. I try to be super proactive. I try to understand that priorities are priorities. And yet in the relationship scenario that you just set up, PRE is P-R-E, and it stands for performance, relationship, economics, emotion. And what that really means is I can either be focused on the performance of my service and my product and use that as a way to create interest. And, you know, in the world in which we live and we know, you know, how online reviews are done. And certainly if your performance is good, it acts as a kind of the greasing, if you will, of the safety and maybe having the next layer of conversation. So when we have performance, trust, that's product and service. But if we don't have relationship trust, it doesn't mean that somebody will allow the product or service to take place. So we've got to spend more time on relationship trust and then have consumer feedback that proves out the performance. And if we don't do that, then we can't set appointments effectively and we have a lower conversion rate. The two E's are most people come into a purchase decision thinking about the economics. And while that is important, too much focus on the economics, how much does it cost, blah, 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 removes us from the emotional decision-making, which is the more important of the two. If I have you and we're connected emotionally, the economics matter less. But if you and I have no relationship discussion or emotional discussion, then chances are we're going to spend some time on price and you know, the economics. And what I've found is conversion is higher when you focus on the emotion of the relationship, and conversion is lower when you focus on the performance, product, and the economics. So we tell people, you know, you look at this proverbial 80-20 rule, and one of the things that we have a trademark on is always be connecting. Not the Glengarry, Glen Ross, always be closing, but always be connecting. No, and it's so true because this will probably blow everybody's mind as they listen to it, but we have some data points. We're a diagnostic company as well, so we like to prove out that the sales methodologies that we teach work. And so we have about 17,000 people that we have tracked in terms of what percentage of the time on a sales call do they talk versus what percentage of the time on a sales call do they listen. And it's really interesting. So we talk about conversational productivity. So here's conversational productivity. I'm going to spend 80% of every dialogue on the emotional aspects of our relationship, what you're looking for, what you want to achieve, everything you said at the very start. And then I'm going to spend 20% of the time talking about the economics. most of the industry in selling has it backwards. They spend 80% of the time talking and only 20% of the time listening. And here's what's interesting. If I take 100 words and I teach a sales professional to use only 80, I will have, on average, a 17% conversion to a purchase order or a contract. If I take the 100 words all the way down to 20, and those 20 are in the form of game-changing questions, then what happens is I get to spend the rest of the time on learning, which drives conversion to 73%. And there's not a leader on the planet that would not like their conversion to be north of 50, 60, 70, 80%. So that's the deal. That's what trust does.
And it's right. I mean, it's right up the alley of everything that we've talked about and been taught for years. We're trying to help people get what they want, but you can't help somebody get what they want unless you know what that is. And sometimes folks are, you know, somewhat hesitant to share that with you. So you have to ask the right questions to find out what it is they really and truly want so that you can help them get it. And that's what happens when you build trust.
Seems super simple, but that is exactly why the referral piece is so strong. Because if I have the referral piece going in, then I have the not only the authority, but I have the commonality of being able to ask those questions. We start every business discussion off with, help me understand what's important about success to you, or help me understand what's important about this training initiative to you, or help me understand what's important about you moving from where you are to where you want to be that we could help with. And as soon as you ask that question, you take the emphasis off needing to say anything. We had a major deal. This was probably 10 years ago, and it was $100 million bank. And we were going to do a big deal. They had three vendors they were looking at. And I remember going into the conference room with my two business development guys, and the head of the training department looked at me and said, "So tell me about the Duncan Group and High Trust." And I knew I could start to answer that, but I knew that would be the death of the call. And so what I did is I said, the Duncan Group and High Trust are a lot of things to a lot of banks, but to make sure we're the right thing for you, help me understand what's important about this training initiative to you. And 45 minutes later, all six of the people across the conference table were talking. We were writing notes as fast as we could. And at the end, I looked at them, I said, anything else? And they said, no, if you can do this, we got a deal. And so we just laid out what we could do. And even then, when we asked for the business, they said, you know, we feel good about you, but we have two more vendors we need to talk with. And so my partner, Dave, said, is there anything we can do between now and then to have you be comfortable moving forward today? And they said, no. And then my partner said, so how much time would you like and what could we do to follow up? And the guy said, we'll call you within 2 weeks. And so Dave and I said, great. The other business development guy came with me. We walked out. We walked down, we took the elevator down to the bottom of the building. We paid the guard $20. We wrote six thank you cards for the guard to take back up before we even started our car to leave. And 2 weeks later, we got the call that we got the deal. And here's what's interesting. We always ask, why did you feel comfortable choosing us? And so when we asked this big bank, why did you feel comfortable choosing us? This is going to blow your mind, Morris. Here's what the guy said. It seemed like you knew what we were looking for.
And, oh, that's listen, perfect. Perfect.
No. And it was, listen, it was a seven-figure contract. And so Dave said, so what did the other guys do? And he said, it felt like they were throwing up. Dave goes, what do you mean? All they were doing was talking about everything they thought they could do for us, but none of it married up with what we needed.
Yeah.
And Morris, that's how important the simple sales methodology is, right? Don't talk. Yeah. Ask the questions you haven't ever asked so you can learn the things you've never learned, so you can solve the things you never solved. And if you do that, you don't have any competition.
I mean, that's what we do. We solve people's problems, or we help them get what they want. We solve their problems so that they can get what they want. I've got a friend that, I probably told this story 1,000 times, even on the show. He won't use the word sales. He doesn't call himself a salesperson. He says, I help people solve problems. His staff, when he comes back in from a sales call, you know, they won't say, gee, Tim, did you make a sale? They say, did you solve a problem? And that's his whole focus. That's how he got over the whole internal confusion or the whole internal resistance of being in the world of sales was by saying, I'm really not selling anything. I'm just helping people solve problems.
You know, it's great. There's a very beautiful identity to, in your own mind as a sales professional and even as a leader, the reason we're in business, we are solutionists. That's what I tell people all the time. You're a solutionist. And all you have to do is understand you don't sell anything to anyone. What you do is you replace the word sell, S-E-L-L, with this word, H-E-L-P. And if you can sit down and help somebody win, you know, good friend, you know him, passed away about 9 years ago, but Zig Ziglar, personal friend of mine. And, you know, he always said, you can get everything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And that methodology is more true today than ever.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, especially in today's world, it's incredible. Todd, I've been meaning to ask you all during the whole show, and we keep getting into such good conversation, I forget to say it. Help the audience understand the business that you were in that brought you into training. Who do you generally work with the most?
So the high-level answer is I work with leaders that want to impact sales teams. So it doesn't matter what business you're in. We work with leaders who want to impact sales teams. And so we'll do business with large banks, you know, Wells Fargo, Bank of America. We'll do business with large distribution like FedEx. We've done business with Home Depot, American Express, Bank of America, Fairway Independent Mortgage. And our perfect kind of relationship is with guys and gals that are leaders that want to help their sales professionals operate at peak performance. And that's what we do. So, that's the perfect world. I grew up in real estate and lending and got into that after I graduated from college. And as luck would have it, I met somebody that became my mentor, and he kind of shone the light on what I needed to do to win and help other people win. And as a result of that, within 3 years, I was number one in the company, and they started asking me to teach other people how to do what I was doing. And so I did that for about 7 more years, but I still did my core business. And 11 years after I graduated from college, it was like, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? Because I really enjoy this, but I'm getting more fulfillment out of teaching people how to do what I have done versus just doing it. And I think for me, that was the first time I understood what my core purpose was. And my core purpose is to make a difference and create impact in people's lives and help them fall in love with their business and their life. And so to do that, it meant, okay, I've got to get out of just doing the business I'm doing, and I've got to create a company that helps people do what I've learned how to do. And here we are 26 years later, we have 5 million clients around the globe and 12 countries, and the books are in 53 languages. And it was destiny, you know, it was just like, okay, what's next? And I wake up fulfilled every day because I ask one question every morning: who's next? Who do I get to hear from today whose life got changed, you know? And we teach people how to balance success and significance, how to sell well, how to earn more money and less time with less stress, and to do it in a way that brings joy and accomplishment. And yeah, high trust it's not a sales model. It's a life mastery model. And, you know, part of it is business, and everybody sells. I mean, kids sell to their parents, and husbands sell to their wives, and, you know, fathers sell to their sons. And the only difference is, do they say yes? So we're all selling something, you know, we're selling hope, we're selling ideas, we're selling product, we're selling service. But that, again, that word sell goes away and trust comes in.
The old joke that is probably truer in my case than anything else in the entire world is that the best sale I ever made was to Mrs. Carla Sims almost 43, 44 years ago. It's 44 years this year.
Wow.
But it's the best sale I ever made. But yeah, I mean, I was out there selling, and then I wound up in the corporate side of the world. And boy, you're really selling when you get up in New York, because they don't give budget to do projects to just anybody. You've got to be able to sell. So it makes all the difference no matter what specific business you're in. But the fact is, most of our audience, I think, Todd, is probably in the financial services world. We're In my vernacular, back in the older days, we called ourselves insurance agents. But these guys are out there, they're selling financial services, life insurance, and accumulation products. Tell me, what do you have for them? Give me a couple of hacks, a couple of tips, a couple of thoughts about trust and the sale of something as intangible as maybe life insurance.
Well, I'm not even going to guess at this. We do a lot of work with Gallup, and we do a lot of work with Edelman Trust Barometer. And I can tell you right now, that is our world. Financial services is our world. And whether we're working with wealth managers or life insurance, property and casualty, mortgage bankers, banks, real estate agents, builders, developers, it doesn't matter. They're all in the financial world. And I would just, the answer to the question is follow the high trust methodology. There's 14 laws that I wrote in the book. The reason it's still out there and still selling is because it is timeless and the laws will never, ever change. And if you don't have a recipe, a playbook for how to accelerate trust and make sure that that creates renewable revenue, passive revenue, which in insurance, we understand that with premiums and things like that. But more important than that is the passive revenue that is created through referrals. And my brother's one of the top financial planners in the world, works for Lincoln Financial Group. And, he won't take any business unless you agree to a 3.5-hour meeting. And, at the end of the day, that meeting is all discovery, 100% discovery. But the reason he has such a high closure rate is because every person he meets with is referred by at least one, usually more than one of his clients. And so what I say to people in finance, any part of finance, is the idea that somewhere between 78 and 91% of Americans claim that financial distress is the biggest stress in their life. Dave Ramsey's a good friend of mine, and you take a look at the whole idea of financial peace of mind and things like that. And anybody that's in financial services needs to understand, if you solve financial stress for anybody, you have a proposition that is highly desired, and you can't approach it any other way. If you think about what you and I discussed earlier, is that we're here to help people, we're here to solve problems. How do we help people solve debilitating debt? And how do we do that with the right coverage? How do we do that with the right asset allocation? How do we do that with dollar cost averaging? How do we do that with, mortgage debt? How do we manage a mortgage instead of the mortgage managing the person? These are all huge things. So I would just say, go to todduncan.com and buy High Trust Selling. It's in its 20th year, and it's an easy purchase. And if you've never read it, it is the way of the warrior in business development to create long lasting relationships that will serve you forever. And, at the end of the day, our job is to have renewable revenue in financial services. Our job is to make an impact and not have book turnover. And if you're going to create a valuation model for your business in finance, you got to have clients, right? And then you can sell your business. And I got mortgage guys that buy insurance businesses all the time as a way to create not only affinity relationship with a person that's taking out a mortgage, but also to look at that book revenue that's coming in that you got to nurture. You nurture your network, and the network creates your net worth, period.
Nurture your network, and your network creates your net worth. Todd, you got such good language. I'm going to steal a lot of this. I hope you know that.
Thank you for that. I feel blessed. I've got a gift of communicating truth. It's so powerful when you realize that you have a moral and ethical responsibility when you talk to audiences to take the spotlight off you and put it squarely on the individual. And, I'm passionate about saving lives. And when I say that, I mean, there's a lot of dysfunction in the world. There's a lot of people that wake up every day and they're not happy and they don't have joy and they're not feeling accomplished. And I feel that I have a responsibility to help people, achieve a level of success where the business doesn't, own you. You own it. The business is to serve the client and serve you and your family. It's not for you to become a slave to it. I teach people how to, you'll love this in financial services. I got hired to do a $1 million roundtable kind of deal. And it was internal to one company. And the guy that hired me said, "These guys are all top producers. Be careful what you say, because they'll eat you alive if you just are kind of mistake, right? So I'm thinking, great, that's great advice from somebody that's going to pay me a fee and then tells me to watch out. And so I got in front of this group, and there's 150 people, and I said, so Joe says that you guys are the best in the company, and I love speaking to top producers, because the question I ask top producers to get their attention is, are you ready? Why did it take you the whole year to earn the revenue you earned? And it's like, people look at me like, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, why did it take the whole year for you to earn the revenue you made? And then I fill it in like, why didn't you just do it in like 6 months? And people look at me more confused. And I said, I mean, why don't you run the business the right way? If you're really top producers, you should be hardly working at all. And then people look at me like, okay, what's coming next? And I go, you know, people talk all the time about 24/7 being the best service model. I actually think 24/7 is the best sales productivity model. And then people are more confused because nobody wants to work 24/7. So they're looking at me and I go, so here's my proposition. If you really listen to what I have to say today, I think you could do in 24 hours a week what you do in 40. And I think you could do in 7 months what it takes a year to do. So my 24/7 is, let's work 24 hours a week and let's take 5 months off. Let's just do that just throughout the year, right? 15 weeks of vacation, 18 weeks of vacation, whatever. And then you have people's attention. And then I proceed to tell them, you know, you're not paid on how many hours you work. You're paid on how productive those hours are. You're not paid on, you know, your PDA and your time management and this and the other thing. You're paid only on the few activities that create the most revenue. And your job really is to, in a selfish way, not in a disingenuous way or in a low trust way, but in a selfish way, your goal is to make more and more revenue with less and less hours and less stress, because you've created more and more value, period. That's the recipe. And when you follow that, then you can go anywhere you want, anytime you want. And, you know, and this financial challenge gets solved. And people at the top in financial services understand this, but there's a lot of people that work 40 years to do what they could have actually done in 10.
I love it. And boy, I have worked with a number of great top producers, and they would love that whole conversation. That would just be so right up their alley, because that's exactly the way they want to look at things. And you take that to the other side, and somebody asked the great Ben Feldman, who was a New York Life agent, sold more than just about anybody back in the 50s and 60s. You know, Ben, how do you sell $1 million? He said, it's easy. You've been doing it. And you, no, I've never sold a million. Yes, you have. In the last 10 years, you've sold more than $1 million. All you have to do is figure out how to do it in 12 months instead of 36.
And that poses the ultimate question. Have you been in business 20 years, or have you been in business 1 year, 20 times?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, if you're not growing, then, and you know what I really, really pains me more than anything, is watching people be afraid to set boundaries on their business. You know, and I learned a long time ago that you're not paid on how many hours you work. And in fact, you're not paid on how many things you do. The top producer focuses on the one skill set that matters most and does it for 80% of the day, period. You know, that's it. And if you do that, then why would you keep repeating 1 year at a time and just be in business 20 years? I mean, I retired from doing mortgages at the age of 32. At the age of 32, and I'd sold the practice, and I don't know, it was probably worth $7 million. And this would have been in 1992. And that's why you build businesses. You build businesses to create value for people first, value for your employees second, and then if it works out, value for you and your family third, in terms of the ultimate succession plan. And, you know, the bottom line is, why use lifeblood? You know, why wake up every day and use your lifeblood and not measure your ROI? I have 45 mm-hmm. coaches on faculty, and we train and coach, I don't know, 2,500 people right now. And the interesting thing is, we tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what you're making right now, What matters is how much you're making per hour for the rest of your life. And we'll take people that come into coaching that are making $100 an hour, and they'll take themselves, but it'll be based on our model. They'll take themselves to $1,000 an hour within 10 months. And you think about that, you think about, okay, I'm going to give an hour anyway. Do I want to make 100 or do I want to make 1,000? And what I make is the byproduct of the value I create, which is the relationship piece. So it's just interesting. People work way too hard, way too dysfunctionally. They give their lifeblood. Their marriages get beat up. Their health gets beat up. And they don't have joy. I wake up every day feeling just in love with what we do. You know, there's never a day that I come into, quote, work where I'm not overjoyed. It doesn't mean everything's perfect, but when you wake up and you know that you're creating a legacy around changing people's lives, which, you know, we do that in insurance, we do that in products and services, we do that in financial modeling, we do all that. But to just be joyful, to be really excited, to not have the business own you, but for you to own it and run it, you know? Anyway, that's, I could go on with that forever.
Todd, I think you and I could both go on with this forever. It's just, it's amazing. I love what you share and what you're talking about here. I can't wait to get into the book. I bought it right before we went on the air, and
good.
I am just dying to open up my Kindle and start on it. It's going to be a blast. But hey, man, will you come back and see us some other time, buddy? Because I Absolutely. Think we could carry this conversation on for the next 2 days.
Be honored. Anytime you want.
Thank you.
Anytime you want. All I would ask is for people now to just, you know, follow me on social, and it's Todd Duncan Official, whether it's Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook. That's where I kind of communicate. And buy the book. If you haven't read the book, come to ToddDuncan.com or Amazon, buy it and read it, devour it. I have people today. I had a guy 2 weeks ago come up to me, and it was one of the first live events we did. And he brought his copy of High Trust Selling in, and he had bought it 15 years ago. And he said to me, he said, I want you to know that I've made $28 million following this book. But the one thing that would make the book even more important is if you would sign it. He came all the way to my seminar so that I could sign the book that has helped him make almost $30 million.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So I'm down for helping anybody learn how to win with High Trust, and ToddDuncan.com and Todd Duncan Official is the place to go.
Todd, thank you so very, very much. We really appreciate you, buddy. And for everybody else out there, you guys go out and make it a great week. Go out and find some ways to improve your level of trust with your prospects and clients. And it's going to mean more to them and to you than you'd ever hope to know in the future. So, hey, have a great week, and I'll see you again next week on The Business of Sales.